3 Nephi chapter 1. Nephi then leaves the land and passes the record on to his son. I think that one of the things we learned too from this is that if we do become true followers of Christ and we do devote ourselves to the degree that Nephi did, that we will never have to taste of death. And we learn that from his 12 disciples, and we learn it from a lot of places that we do have that opportunity if we will serve him and so choose it. Well, in verses 4 through 6, we find that 5 years pass, and as that time passes, the sign still isn't given. So many begin to say, well, this is obviously that was a false prophecy, and the two people are looking in vain. Well, notice that that everyone believed the words of Samuel, the prophet. And why? Because he is because the Spirit has testified to him. It wasn't just to this man stood up on the wall. It must have came with great power and great feeling, and they began to have a testimony of this thing directly from the Spirit, and so therefore this becomes a strong point of faith. Well, the Lord always tries our faith, and so therefore, as he tries our faith, then we're going in their faith. They're going into the fifth year. Now, just an example of trying of faith is it could have been 5 years from the time that Samuel had said, but as years go, we're only into the fifth year past, meaning that that we haven't came. It's been 5 years. We're not to the end of the year that the fifth year passed. You see that? So there's a time there, and so they begin to say that the time is past, and so the others begin to rejoice and persecute the followers. Why? It's just like they did, like the members of the church, and they're yelling, "See, we told you it was our church is the correct one. Yay, we are right and we are correct." See, they're going. Then notice that they're rejoicing not again in the Spirit, not again in the Lord, but they're rejoicing in what their leaders have said and what men have said and what they see with their eyes and their own mental or carnal decision. And they're rejoicing in man and not in not because of just maybe more likely meaning that they should rejoice in their own righteousness, but they don't have righteousness, so they're not rejoicing in that. They're rejoicing in these in someone else being hurt or being put down. And again, we begin to see it get also the feeling of pride and lifting one up above another. See, the very idea of pride means that you're up because someone else is down. So there's two ways to be up. One, you elevate yourself, and the other way is you push someone down. And that's, again, why we don't want to take care of the poor. We like the poor down there so that we can look down and say, see, we're up because they're down. Well, see, this shows you they're happy because of pride. See, they put themselves up above these people now, not because of anything they've done, not because of any relation, not because of any righteousness, but they can twist that and say, see, yay, this means that we're righteous for some reason. Well, again, as we were saying, that this is quite a trial for those that believe in the sign Well, why? Because why does the Lord give us these trials? Because he's trying to strengthen our character, that we are that we will choose when our faith is weak, that we will choose righteous principle, or that having tasted and seen what Christ is about and wanting him, that our hope is still there, irrespective of our faith goes and the circumstance around us all fall apart. We still had that same hope, and that hope was good, and we knew it was good, and we knew that it told us what was good, and we knew that it was desirable. And so we still say, well, gee, even if it feels like the Spirit has left me or things are gone, I still want to have that back because I know that was what was good. And so we strengthen our resolve for good, and we strengthen our resolve for choosing what is truly righteous, and our character grows. It's strengthened. Well, then the wicked people set aside a day, and they set this day aside by the reason of man. So again, they're always using the reason of man, just like the church today is down to always using what's reasonable unto man, and that becomes a great sign of wickedness. And they say that the followers are going to be put to death. And again, why could they say they could be put to death? And they're saying because of blasphemy again, meaning you have claimed that God's going to come down to you, and now that his sign that he's not proved that he is not coming down, and so in fact you were blasphemous. See, and that becomes that rationale. Well, notice that also at the end of verse 9 that it says that they call him Samuel the prophet. We got to point that out, that he was a prophet, but he certainly wasn't in the leadership of the church, and certainly was not in the leadership of anybody in the Nephite land. He was a Lamanite, came from a whole other place, had no jurisdiction, had nothing, but he was the prophet. He was the prophet of the Lord. And again, we learn that the Lord calls his prophets. Well, verse 10 through 15, Nephi prays, and then the Lord says, yea, this sign will come. And we have to see that first that maybe there was some requirement for Nephi to pray, meaning, again, we have to strongly ask the Lord to come down and meaning that kind of along the same idea that he doesn't interfere. But the point is we have to have desires. I'm sure that the other people were praying, and so was Nephi, that I think that this is just signifying that the people did have to have it's in the Book of Mormon here to tell us that you have to have a desire for the Lord to manifest himself. Well, notice also, what was the time? I think that we can see that the time was not set according to a time limit. It was set according to the wickedness and the ripening of the people. And finally, when the people said, oh, we'll even kill the true followers of Christ, and we'll kill them if we don't have this sign, see, then we begin to see that, see, they have grown in their complete wickedness, that they will now even destroy, they'll join with the devil or do anything to destroy the Lord's work. And so that's as far as they go without something else happening. And so, therefore, they're right to that point, and then they are the ones by their acts that chose the time. The Lord just knew all things that were going to happen, so he'd set the time according to a time of man, but it was really according to the events of God, and he was waiting for that event, and he knew when it would occur. So when they said, so they set the time by saying they'd put the people to death. Well, in verses 16 through 18, it said that many are converted to believe. And the point is that they could see from the things that have went on in the past, they knew that they had rationalized a lot of other signs and everything. See, it wasn't just this sign that began to convert them. They could see that all the other things that manifest the truth of what the followers of Christ were saying. And so, therefore, this was just the last straw. They knew they was wrong, and then everything else falls in, and now they can see it all clearly, or they're able to shred the pressure of the devil making them lie, and so therefore they now believe. Well, again, we get the idea that see, to believe is not meaning yeah, it sounds reasonable to man, and believe is usually used more to say that it's an acknowledgement of man. But it doesn't mean that he's repented. He doesn't mean that he has the strength to now move ahead. Meaning it doesn't mean he's repented. So he has to repent, and the strength comes from faith. So he has to repent, and he has to build his strength through faith. And those are what come after the belief. Well, then it says that the sign is fulfilled exactly in verses 19 and 20, exactly as Samuel said it would have prophesied. Well, then immediately in verse 22, Satan starts with his lies. And it's easy to see what his lies would be, like today. All of a sudden the signs come, even if it didn't go dark, well, they come up with some scientific phenomena for it. As long as they can give a scientific explanation for it, well, then that means it's not of God. Again, notice they're always putting God below man. Or man says, if God will come down here and let us evaluate him, then if we decide he is God, then indeed he's God. See, man is always putting him below him or saying that he's the one to evaluate, instead of believing that God is the one that's all-knowing, and it's man that has to go to God and to receive judgment and understanding and wisdom. And we'll always get that feeling, again, when you're following church, it to know that it's incorrect, it will begin to talk of man and the reason of man, and that men are to tell you, and that they do not receive the word of God, and believe the word of God is where real wisdom is, and that's where we're, and that, again, we were seeing the opposite of that being how Satan can spread his lies. He does it by using the so-called wisdom of man. Well, nonetheless, the sign does quiet the people, and Nephi is able then to carry on his work to then preach well to the people, cause many to be baptized unto repentance, and the work can go forth. The point is how strong they are in the faith and how strong their resolve is, meaning now that they're baptized unto repentance, do they continue to repent? Do they really want to strengthen themselves, and do they want to proceed ahead? And that's the question, which we'll see that, again, as we saw after Samuel came, that those who were baptized then, many of them fell away, and now we'll see again that it doesn't take long. In fact, it only takes 1 year, and all of a sudden there's a problem again. Well, the first problem that gives you a sign that we're about to have big problems is in verse 24. It says that people began to have a contention over whether or not of the keeping of the law of Moses. Well, there's two important things about that. First of all, it lets you know that the entire gospel had been taught previous to Christ. Meaning everybody knew the purpose of Christ, they knew the plan of salvation, the whole gospel had been taught. So they knew it. And in fact, again, that's why even those who had repented when they saw this big sign, they had already known it. They belonged to their church to claim to know the gospel just as today. Everyone claims to know the gospel. It's just whether they really live it and believe it and study it. But the point is that they had all been taught it. And the second point is that notice that they're using the reason of man. So we know that there's a degree of wickedness. They don't care about serving Christ. I mean, what my point is, they're playing with the law of Moses. And they're reasoning with that. And what did command tell us to do about that? So they're using the knowledge of man. But that's not the important thing. It's still the important thing that we knew that they'd received the whole gospel, which still that was always centered around serving Christ and coming unto Him and learning and increasing our faith in Him. We knew all these things. That's what was important, centering on repenting and increasing our faith in Him. But they weren't. They wanted to play the games of the intellectual games of man, so they were already headed right back into iniquity. A year has passed away, then we see that the strength of the Gadianton and robbers actually begins to grow, because there begins to be dissenters, and then also Satan's lies are listened to by the young, and so many of the young begin to follow the Gadianton and robbers. And again, we have to ask ourselves, well, what was the rationale? What was it? The rationale for people to leave, and what was the rationale that the Gadianton used? Well, obviously, first the Gadianton just explained away using the old scientific method. They explained away the sign, but then also the rationale for why they had a right to rob and why they could get people to come unto them is they said that they had the right to government again. Now, what obviously happened after this big sign, when everybody went, oh yes, okay, now we know you're right. We have been wrong, so they restore the government to the original way, which means today it'd be like wiping out all of the laws, wiping out all the bureaucracy, and going back to the Constitution. Well, then all of a sudden, all these people are out of jobs. There's vast numbers out of jobs, and they have to now go work for themselves, and mostly they've got to begin to depend on Christ to be their provider. Because they don't have this big system that allows them to plunder or live off of someone else. So they begin to, that's what the Gadianton have always been saying, no, we need this big system. So they begin to descend. And also the Gadianton claims, you stole the government for us, so we have a right to government. And so because you stole it from us and we would have governed, when we do govern, you have a right to take care of us, so you owe it to us. And they go through this kind of rationale, but the point is it shows all along that their desire in government was not to really help the people and make it easier on the people. It was for them to have a way to take care of themselves, even as today. And today we'll see that when the system falls, when this government falls apart, which it will completely fall apart, and we'll have anarchy throughout the land. Nonetheless, pockets of people get together that'll be government people, and they'll claim that they have a right to come into places and take the food and everything because you've stolen from them and you destroyed the government. But it'd be as simple as saying we worked for the government for 20 years and we have a retirement. And that retirement is based on that you are going to take care of us in our retirement, you see. And see, that's all retirement is. And whether it's insurance or savings or anything, that's all a Gadianton plan to tell you that someone in the future has to work for you. And so now you got to convince the people in the future that they have to work for you. They haven't received nothing to say that. All they receive is, well, and then we'll make someone else later on work for you. But see, all of a sudden in the future, they don't owe you anything. And that's what'll be that'll be an immediate contention. And the people will say, no, we don't owe you a thing. But nonetheless, I'm pointing out that that will be their claim to come and try and steal and dominate other people. And they did it then, and that'll be the way they'll do it in our day.